Well, I appreciate again this opportunity to be in service. Thank you for being here. Desire your prayers. I want the Lord to bless these moments that we spend together today. This morning, my little burden that I have is concerning faith. And you've probably heard many a message about faith. Well, here's one more. And I hope that when we're done today that this will be an encouragement to you and you'll be challenged and that we'll find that living for the Lord is attainable. I don't believe that the Lord brought to us anything that was impractical. Everything that He presented to us and has asked us to do is something that is we're capable of doing. I have found in living for the Lord that whenever I first came to Him, there were many things that I didn't understand as a young man. But the Lord was merciful and He was willing to be patient and to lead and to guide. And then whenever the time came that He knocked on my door again about consecration and sanctification, that there were still many things I didn't understand. And I realized at some point that there were things that when I would hear the messages preached and I would hear the teaching about consecration and about giving all to the Lord, there were times when that frightened me because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to just turn everything over and just give it all up. Because in my ignorant mind, that meant that I would be without anything. I would have nothing. I would have no home, money, car, nothing. All that would be God's. But what I found was something very different. The reality of it was that when I was willing to completely surrender everything to the Lord, that He gave me all those things, put them right back in my hand, and then required me to be a good steward of those things. And when we're serving the Lord, when we're by the help of the Lord, when I stand and try to present the message I feel the Lord gives me, present the gospel, I really feel like He has burdened me with the application of it being a practical application, something that we can do, something that works. And I find real encouragement in that, and in serving the Lord, that's the way He's dealt with me, in a practical way. It hasn't been in ways that just almost seems unattainable and so far beyond that it's incapable of reaching to. But He helps me to be able to be comforted in knowing that I'm not asking you to do anything that you can't do. And I found it to be that way. And never will the Lord require you to give up something that is wholesome and helpful to you. He's not going to ask you to do that. Now, the enemy is quite different than that. He's a hard taskmaster. And he's going to try to put things on you and make you feel like you're required to do things that are just unreasonable things. And again, we mentioned earlier in the meeting that when you're in that battle of decision and confusion, you can be sure that if there's fog and mist and clouds and darkness around it, it's not the Lord. It's the enemy. Because he comes in ways that are shrouded with confusion and things that are hard to reckon with. The things of God, they're deep things. But He has a way of bringing out the deep things to us in simplistic ways and helping us to understand the depth and magnitude of His goodness and His love and His mercy to us. So this morning, I just desire your prayers as we look into this little burden about faith for a little while, that it'll be, again, one of those things that's practical to us. And we'll be able to come away encouraged. We'll turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's a very common passage we read concerning faith. We'll begin with the first verse, Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I would read that verse many times, it would cause there to be a level of fear inside of me, because I said, how much faith is enough faith? The scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I can't please God without faith. So I must have something working inside of my spiritual being, my physical being, my emotional existence. I must have something working inside of there that shows an acceptance and a belief in God and a faith in God. Now, I'm going to confess to you that when I first, many, many years ago, started reckoning with this idea of faith, concerning faith, the primary thing that was in the, it was always in the forefront of my mind, faith and healing, divine physical healing of the body, were the two things that were always interconnected. To me, in my mind, and I hope you understand what I'm saying here, the primary connection that I had with faith, in my mind, faith always had that connection with my physical body and trusting God even to the death of my physical body. But I have found that it's much, much more than just that. Now, that was what my connection was, okay? That's what I had. You may have had something similar, or you may have had something very different. Maybe it was always a broader picture to you. But it was so confined and narrow to me that it was cumbersome. It was almost like it was too much of a weight to carry, to associate faith with just that one thing. But that's how it was with me. Now you can say, well, the enemy was taking advantage. That may be the case. But I realized that there was much more to this idea and belief of having faith, believing in God. Because the scripture says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in process of time and on my face before the Lord, I found that he would begin to work in me the ability to see a difference and the connection of how to exercise faith in even the little things. This passage starts out, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I looked up the definition of that word substance, Thayer's Greek definition and also Strong's commentary. It means a setting or placing under, a thing put under, a substructure or foundation. A substructure. Just a few minutes ago, I was outside and I walked into the old tabernacle building, and I was able to get some help, get the lights turned on. And I walked in there for a little bit, looked around, and I noticed that the floor, concrete floor, is really bad. Got some pretty bad cracks. The substructure, you see. There's something about the substructure that is either the ground conditions here, freezing, thawing, or maybe there wasn't enough reinforcement put in it. Maybe the mix was bad. I don't know. But there's something about the substructure there that there is a fault. And it's causing there to be cracks, bad cracks running throughout. The scripture here says faith is the substance, the substructure, the foundation, the basis of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So I look at this now from a very different standpoint, and I pray the Lord will help us all to look at this. It says, through faith we understand, through faith, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. These big white pine trees around here. That white pine tree didn't come from just another big white pine tree. Okay. It did. But that white pine tree produces cones. And inside that cone is a seed. And inside of that seed is the ability for that to fall to the ground and take root and grow into another tree. There's a huge, I believe it's a wild cherry back here beside the little building. Big tree. And I look around at that tree and I see the tree and I look at that and I realize that just because there's one big cherry tree doesn't mean that that big cherry tree is going to produce another big cherry tree. No, it produces little small fruit. And inside of that little small fruit is a seed. And when that seed falls to the ground, it has the ability to transform and become something much more than just that little piece of fruit. It starts to sprout. Down home, we have, this past year, we had an abundance of acorns. And in those acorns all over the ground. And now we have an abundance of squirrels. Squirrels, squirrels, squirrels. And those little guys went, they were busy. When those acorns were falling to the ground last fall, those little guys were busy squirreling those things away. And they put them, I don't know when they did all their work, but they put them in the ground outside. They put them in the flower beds. They put them in the flower pots. They put them everywhere. Because now I go around in the flower beds and it's a regular thing for me to pull up four, five, six sprouts of oak trees coming out of the flower beds. And when I pull it up from that big oak right there by the corner of my patio, when I pull up that sprout, you know what's connected to it? An acorn. There's an acorn connected to that. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But then I go back even farther than that and I realize, and I think the Lord would want us to be able to see some of the things instead of looking at the big things. You heard the phrase, the saying, you can't see the forest for all the trees. There are times whenever the Lord wants us to recognize and realize that the forest is made of the trees. We have to realize that there are things there that the Lord wants us to see and look for Him and see Him in those smaller things. And then I realize the scripture here says, through faith we understand that the world was formed through the Word of God. And we spoke about that the other evening, about the Word, the incarnate Word. Now the power that is in that Word, that the Lord God was able to speak into existence, I believe, in creation, a mature, functioning world. Not just a bunch of seeds, but a mature, functioning world. So that the things that are seen were not made of those things which do appear. In other words, there was something that goes, my mind starts then rolling backwards. I start, when I try to figure something out, if I come up with something that's difficult, I'm trying to figure out the answer to a problem or the truth to a situation, I start here and I start working backwards. I don't try to go to the beginning because many times I can't find the beginning. If I want to find the beginning, I have to start working backwards to get to the root, to get to the bottom of it, to find out where the beginning was. So I find when I start studying those kinds of things that the Lord takes me back to the beginning. How beautiful it is in the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings, where we read about creation, and that begins to the basis for me to establish a faith and a belief in God. And these old patriarchs that we have an account of listed here all exercised faith in this God and believing those things. Who ever heard of such a thing as a flood? When the Lord spoke to Noah and told him to build the ark, it took faith for him to be willing to start to move to build that ark. And I'll tell you something else that I find in the list of this catalog of people who were the patriarchs, who were the heroes of faith. There's a name missing. Adam. The very first person created. His name's not there. Abel's name is mentioned, but Adam's name is not. Apparently, because of the transgression, the fall, that and the way that they exercised himself, Adam was not recognized in this catalog of heroes of faith. I hope that Adam and Eve both found a place of repentance before the Lord. But I find that their names aren't here, and that's rather curious to me. And it tells me also something that there was something about what they did and not realizing and exercising the faith of God and belief in God that in this writing, their names weren't mentioned. But Abel's was. Because the Scripture says that through faith, he brought a more excellent sacrifice. I don't know how he understood. The law wasn't yet given. I don't know how much God had communicated with Adam and Eve in the garden about sacrifice. I don't know if they had talked to Cain and Abel about the appropriate way to present a sacrifice before the Lord, or if it was just a voluntary action on their part. I rather think it was probably a voluntary action on their part, and that Abel, seeing this thing and realizing that probably in his meditations, if you'll give me the liberty, realizing when Adam told them the story of their transgression, and here's what happened, son. We took of that forbidden fruit, and when we did, the Lord God expelled us from the garden. And we told him when he came down to speak with us in the cool of the day, he said, Adam, where are you? And I had to tell him, Lord, I was afraid and I hid myself because I was naked. Well, who told you that? And that the Lord God, then whenever I told God that I was afraid because I hid myself because I was naked, that he killed an animal. And he made coats of skins. And he put coats of skins on us to cover our bodies. And that I wonder sometimes if Abel didn't sit back and think of that a little bit and say, you know, God sacrificed an animal because my mom and dad did the wrong thing. So I want to try to please him. I want to try to assuage his dissatisfaction with me. So I'm going to bring the first fruits of the ground, and I'm also going to bring one of those sacrifices. Maybe it'll cover my sin. The Scripture tells us by faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I believe that Abel was exercising one of those things where it says he was something that he wasn't seen, but he was willing to try and say, will this be pleasing to the Lord? And the Lord accepted that from Abel. He took that from him and he accepted it. Now, whenever we're dealing with the things around us, folks, we can start to realize, let's remember this. It's easy to overlook the little things. I was talking with Brother Marty the other day, went by to see his garden. Brother Mansell suggested I need to go by there and take a peek at it, see what it looked like. I went by to look at it. Nice looking little garden. Happy for him. Hope he gets some good produce off of it. We were talking a little bit about watering the garden and how he waters his garden and how much difference there is between natural rainfall and the water that you turn on the faucet, hook your hose up to the faucet, connect it to a sprinkler and turn that water on. The difference between that water that comes out of the hose through the ground and the water that comes through the air. Why do you think it's that way? It's part of those things that are not seen. It's part of those little things that God has put around us. It makes a difference in the way that the crops produce. It makes a difference in things that how the fruit looks and how the trees and the plants look. I was amazed one time I was reading about thunderstorms and studying about those kind of things. And I found out that when a lightning flashes across the sky and you hear the thunder, the explosion that takes place after the lightning flashes across the sky, it's because there is a collapsing of gases in the air. There's suddenly that big bolt of lightning has burned up. Oxygen, nitrogen, all those things, gases in the air, and there's that explosion and it comes back together, collapsing of those things. And as that happens, there is nitrogen is produced in the naturally produced in the air, and that the trees begin to absorb that nitrogen, the plants begin to absorb that nitrogen. Is that all happenstance? Is that all just because, well, bright minds have figured it out? Folks, I go back. I start tracing that thing back, and I find that that is because there is a big God. There is a big God that is working in all of those elements and all of those efforts, causing there to be the sustenance of life. So it causes me then to come down to that place where I have to realize, Lord, I want this. This is what faith is. This is the foundation. This is the basis. This is the substructure. If I can't get my mind wrapped around that there is a big God in heaven, that not only is He concerned with me trusting Him for my needs, but He wants me to believe that He provided all of these things. He put all this thing in order for me. And I can have faith. I exercise faith to believe that because I can't prove all these things. I don't know how to dig to the bottom of it. I find that the greatest minds in this world who try to understand DNA and try to understand atoms and molecules and splitting atoms and all these kinds of things, they keep trying to find the source of life. And they get down to this point and they think, we've got it now. We've come to, we've arrived. We've got it figured out. And then they realize, oops, we got that. There's another little particle we found. And they say, oh, how good that is. And then a little later, somebody comes up with another little particle they found. How many times can you divide something? Just as many times as it needs to be. Because I'll tell you why. The Lord God is behind all of that. And when God spoke into existence, He began to create, we say, something from nothing. Folks, God spoke it into existence. And when God spoke, things started happening. And I just choose to believe that. I find that I can't prove, I can't make argument about all of these things, but I know that there is one who does. I know there is one who has power. I know there is one who makes the difference in my life and in your life. I appreciate what the Lord has done. It's the substructure. It's the foundation for what I have built my life on. The things that you have built your life on. The experiences that you have had day in and day out. Those are the things that are beautiful to us. They're the things that cause us to believe and have faith in God. And that's what my foundation is. Faith. And I say sometimes, Lord, increase my faith. I find myself in the place as the man that came to the Lord with his son that had a grievous affliction of some type of seizures apparently, and he would fall into the fire, and Jesus said, how long has this been? He said, well, since he was a child. And the man said, Lord, if you can do anything for him, would you do something if there's anything you can do? And Jesus said to the man, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you hear what? All things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been to those places where I know that all things are possible to him that believeth. And I have to get on my face and say, Lord, do I have enough? Am I short here? How much faith is enough faith? And the man said that to Jesus. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the man said, Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I have found that the most safe place to be in serving the Lord and trusting the Lord is to be open and honest with Him and say, Lord, I do believe, but I'm a little weak here. I need some reinforcement here. I need some bolstering up. I need you to step in here and cause there to be some reinforcement and strengthen and encourage my faith. My substructure. The foundation needs a little bit more work done to it. Down home, whenever our chapel was being built back in the mid-1980s, we had, believe it or not, we had a flood that occurred then. And the foundation, the slab was poured, the walls were, exterior walls were up. And after the water receded, we went down looking things over, and we had pretty bad crack in that big slab. And we looked at that, worried at that point about the foundation. Do we continue here? Do we go on? Or is it time to stop, try to figure out what to do? We called engineers out to come take a look at it, and they looked and surveyed and looked and surveyed, and they said, you're going to be all right. You can build on top of it. They told us that hydraulic pressure from under the ground came up. Water from under the ground came up. The hydraulic pressure cracked the slab. They said, you're going to be okay because nothing's been disturbed. And I've thought since then, the hydraulic pressure from the ground, where did that come from? It's a force. No man created that force. It was a force that God created. But it made us look at the substructure of the building. We've had a building sitting on that slab for many, many years and haven't had a bit of trouble with that because the substructure was sound. It was solid. The Lord wants us to have that substructure, folks. Underneath our experience with the Lord, something that is steadfast and sure. And it's what will hold you. It's what will carry you in places through life. And you may have heard me say this before, but I want us to think about it today. I want you to take just a moment here. And I want you to just in your mind look back over your life. Look back over your life when you started serving the Lord. And see if there are waypoints along the way that really stand out to you. Significant happenings along the way that drastically and radically changed your thinking, drastically and radically changed your experience, caused you to be more cemented in trust and belief in God, caused you to realize that there is a power greater than my own, and I must lean on that, because when I find myself leaning on that, it reinforces me and strengthens me and causes me to feel something greater. A man cannot plan all those little waypoints in his life. A man can't sit down and start putting point one, two, three, four, five. You know, like they color by number or draw by number or by letter. You can't do that with just your own planning in life. But the Lord has a way of putting the dots together and causing there to be a beautiful picture formed in your life. You couldn't plan it out. I look back over my own life and I look at the things that have happened to me and I think, Lord, what a wonderful thing You did. There was no way that I could have ordered or arranged all of these things to fit so nicely in the time that they needed to be. But He was able to do that. Why was He able to do that? Why is He able to do that with you? Because if you look back in your life and find those places connected, remember, it started somewhere. It started somewhere. It started first with a person being willing to humble themselves before God, accept and acknowledge Him as being God, accept salvation, make the effort to move forward with sanctification and consecration, however much you understand. And I expect you've probably been like me. You found yourself having to go back to that altar of prayer before and say, Lord, I thought I understood. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I had it all consecrated. But here's some more. And 5 or 10 years down the road, you realize that something else comes up. Lord, I thought I had it all fixed, but here's something more. And as we do that, we look back point after point after point. The Lord has taken those little things and drawn a beautiful picture in our lives because we exercised faith. Did I have enough faith 25 years ago, 35 years ago, to realize where I would be today in life? No, I didn't. But by adding faith to faith, a little here and a little there along the way, the same thing has happened to you. If you love the Lord and you follow the Lord, maybe you've had a side slip along the way. Maybe you've been nearly derailed along the way. But if you get back on track, folks, the Lord has mercy for us. He'll help us when we're in those kind of places. You get back on track, you follow the Lord, and you realize, looking back over life, that I see where the Lord made a difference. He connected all of the dots. Things that I could have never figured out on my own, He was able to do it. That's a blessing from the Lord. Remember those kinds of things. When you're wondering, when you're exercising faith, remember that today your faith is greater because of the things that have happened along the way. It has built strength and trust and confidence in the Lord that you didn't have then. But the foundation, the substructure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The substructure, the foundation. When we start to believe in the Lord and exercise that faith in God, then we come to a place along the way where by adding faith to faith, experience to experience, that there is something to stand on. I'll share a little story with you. I was visiting with a gentleman a few weeks back. He told me about his daughter and son-in-law. They got married and they been married a few years, and they desperately wanted a child. And they could not biologically have a child. So they considered the avenue of adoption. And they decided to go ahead and pursue the avenue of adoption, and they waited and tried to go through all the right channels and all the legal proceedings to make sure that the adoption was secured and that it went through. And the way he explained it to me is that after all, everything was all finally settled, that an attorney brought the child to their house, presented the child to them, and he left, and they said, finally, we've got a child. We have a baby. We finally have a little one that we can lavish our love on. We've wanted this for so long, and now we've got it. And here it is. This is our opportunity. And there are some things that I'm not able to understand in life. My life has been one that's been full with children and family. But there are those who don't have that. There are those who yearn and long to be able to hold their child in their arms. And they may not be able to have their own child. I want to tell you this. If you've been able to hold your baby in your arm, that's a blessing from the Lord. Young folks, you have dreams and aspirations and hopes. I want you to remember something. Hold on to the Lord. He will help you to be able to find fulfillment, real fulfillment in life. Don't chase empty pipe dreams. Find a basis, a foundation, a substructure that you can begin to build on, and the Lord will satisfy your needs in life. If you leave Him out of the equation, there will be emptiness and loneliness and hard places. I'm not going to tell you you'll never feel lonely sometimes in serving the Lord, because there are places where you get to that, but He wants us to find Him in those places. This couple finally had this baby in their home. And the next day, the phone rang. And it was the attorney. He said, the couple changed their mind, and I've come in to pick up the baby. And he drove out, and he picked up the baby, and he left. Now, I can't imagine the pain that they felt. We've longed for it. We've yearned for it. We had it. And now it's gone. Gone. 24 hours time. It's gone. They were churchgoers. They went to service. The next time they had church service, they went to service. After the minister delivered the word, they were feeling such an anguish in their hearts that they went up as a couple. They went up together to the altar of prayer for help. Need help. I can understand that. They're desperate. Their hearts have been just ripped apart. So they come down to an altar of prayer and they have prayer together. The minister prays with them. They get up. And when the service is dismissed, a lady walks up to them. Says, I see that you're in real distress and I'm so sorry. I'll be remembering you in prayer. They opened up a little conversation and found out what happened. The couple told her what had taken place, and she says, oh my, oh my. She says, my daughter has a baby that she's wanting to put up for adoption. I wonder if it would work out for you to have this baby. Folks, God is able to connect the dots in life, you see. Now, I don't know this couple. I've never met them. To my knowledge, I've never met them. But it's been several years ago, apparently, because in talking with this man, he said they've raised this child. And it's been a joy. They've been able to have love in their home, been able to feel love, to give love, to receive love. Folks, those are things that make a difference in life. Now, we can look around and say, well, this just happened, Sense. It just happened that this lady was there at church that day. It just happened that her daughter had a child to put up for adoption. It just happened that this couple went down to prayer and all things combined and worked together. Did it just happen? No, folks, things don't just happen. They don't just happen. There's a God out there that cares. And when we have a substructure, a foundation, like I said, I don't know this couple. I don't know about their lives. I just know this much, that there are people in this world who cry out to God. They cry out to Him. And the Scripture tells me, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I can't figure all that out. I don't know how all that works. It's not for me to understand it all. That's God's business. But this couple came. They were desperate in their hearts and they were praying. God saw that whole picture. God saw the whole thing. He saw it all unfolding. He knew what was going on, and He presented them with another opportunity with this child, and it has brought fulfillment to them in life. I say that's a beautiful thing. Faith is a substructure of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I doubt that this couple would have been able to tell you that at some point these would be the chain of events in their lives. But I would expect if you went and talked to them today, they would tell you how God had ordered and arranged some things. Where today I'm hurting and I'm desperate and my heart's torn and I don't even know if I can survive the day. And tomorrow, the world looks brighter again. Why? Because of a basis. Folks, let's not leave God out of the equation. He'll be there for you. He'll help you in those dark places. Scripture in Romans 12. That's why we preach and teach this. These two verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God is wanting to exercise His will in every one of us. But it takes a renewing. Be ye transformed. And that word transformed is taken from a Greek word that most everybody is familiar with, metamorphos. Metamorphosis. You remember what metamorphosis is? It's a transforming. It's a changing from one form to another. Now, whenever we begin to serve the Lord, and I make my effort to serve Him, and I consecrate myself before Him, I don't change from a human being to another creature. But I do change from an old man to a new man. Because the old man has passed away. All things become new. Metamorphosis. There's a time, there's a transition, there's a phase that goes on. There is a part of a dying that takes place and a renewing. When that little larva, that little worm, that little caterpillar begins that process of weaving that cocoon around his body, and he stays there for a while, and when he comes out later, beautiful winged creature. The process that takes place of transforming. This is what the Lord says for us to do. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Go through the metamorphosis. Let it change you. Because when we do that and we're willing to accept the offering of God, things will change for you in life. You'll be able at some point to stop, turn around, and look, and you'll be able to sing that song. Was it 322, Crown After Cross? I think it's 322. I think it's in the last verse. It says, right was the pathway leading to this. Every time we sing that song, there is a wash of things that comes over my mind of life building one thing after another. And it talks about light after darkness, crown after cross, strength after weakness, all of these contrasts between one and the other. And I expect that if you've served the Lord very long, you've experienced the contrast. You've experienced the dark side. You've experienced the light. You've experienced the pain. You've experienced the joy. You've experienced both of those. But when you come right down to it, I've listened to that verse and I heard an exhortation about it many years ago and it changed my thinking about that song. And when I sing that little phrase, right was the pathway leading to this, I can look at that and say, amen, Lord. You do all things well. The things that I don't understand, the things that don't make any sense to me, I've built a substructure a long time ago, and you're building on top of that. I'll leave that with you, because I know that you do all things well. I hope you will exercise faith today. I trust that you have faith today. And whatever faith you do have, exercise that faith. Let God work with that faith. Let Him be with you and lead you through life. I said to you a while ago, no man can order all of his steps. The Scripture says it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You just can't do it. You can't figure it all out. We're not smart enough to know how to put all the things in order. But when we leave it to God and we look back and see how He ordered and arranged things, it makes us feel real small. And it makes us feel real grateful. And that way we know that there is a power greater than what I can see. Again, there in Hebrews 11, things which are seen were not made of those things which do appear. There was something greater than that behind it all. Thank God for His power and His love and His mercy. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one. You pray for me. Amen.